There's a little boy in our church, and if you ever want a good theology, or if you want to study healthy emotional responses, look to children. They haven't been corrupted yet. Children, they seem to come into the world with their emotions fully developed, and they know how to respond to things, and they're not embarrassed by them yet. There's a little boy in our church who was learning the children's catechism. His parents were teaching him a different question every night, and the question came up, where is God? And the answer, of course, is God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And his eyes got really big, and he looked at them and said, is he in my room? And they were like, yeah, he's in your room. He's everywhere. And he didn't sleep in his room again for the next 3 nights. He was scared to death. He didn't want to be in there alone with God. And it might sound funny to you, but I think that's right. That's actually a healthy response. Fear is a very healthy thing, and God has designed us with this emotion that makes us seek safety. It makes us seek the safety of crowds. It makes us run to people. And he was right. If you're afraid of something, you go to your parents. And he was right that the Lord is a frightening thing. If you really believed in God, you would be afraid of him seeing you. And so he had this very healthy response. God designed us with that emotion. And he goes so far, the Lord says in Psalm 111 and other places, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, he's created us so that we will fear him. When faith plus fear meet, we begin to look for a place to hide. Fear makes you run for cover. And you realize there is no place that can cover you from the Lord. And so you have to end up turning toward him. And he makes peace with you, and you realize then that he's not angry with you, but he's put your sin away in his son, and you come into him, and ultimately there you find rest, and you find security and comfort from not only the fear of him, but from all your fears. That's how God created us to function. He created us with this healthy gift of fear that ultimately leads us to safety. You know I'm going to say it right. But a lot of us have a corrupted fear. It's anxiety. And anxiety leads us to isolation and paralysis and a complete loss of peace. And so what we want to talk about today is what a healthy fear looks like, contrasted with anxiety. Now, this is a series. We started it 2 weeks ago, and we're going to do it for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And we're going to look at a different emotion each week. Last week, we looked at sadness, and we looked at its corrupted, wicked stepbrother, depression. This week, we're looking at fear and its corrupted, wicked stepbrother, anxiety. Now, I understand that you can choose different words for these things. The words aren't interchangeable. They kind of are interchangeable, whatever. But I'm trying to distinguish two things, right? Don't quibble with me on that. I'm trying to distinguish healthy fear that leads to life and unhealthy anxiety that leads to a complete loss of peace. And so to do that, we're going to read this great psalm from Psalm 3 that David prayed when he was surrounded by his enemies and Absalom had kicked him out of Jerusalem. So please stand as we read from Psalm chapter 3. And ultimately, hopefully, we'll see that fear moves us toward people, safety, and rest. Fear moves us toward people, safety, and rest. Hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Thus far, the reading of God's word, all men are like grass, and all of our glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but not God's word. God's word stands forever. Please be seated. Healthy fear moves us toward safety and rest. Anxiety moves us toward isolation and exhaustion. That's what I want you to see. Now, the first thing I want to do here is talk about a healthy fear. And if you try to take this psalm out of all context and just say this is all that we have that the Bible teaches us about fear, you'd be led to say, well, the fear's bad, and I have nothing to fear, and since I'm in the Lord, I'm fine. I kind of have this image of somebody going out on the battlefield saying, you know, shoot me if you want to. If it's the Lord's will for me to die, I die. And that is not what's going on. That's presumption. That's putting the Lord to the test. That is not what is going on in this text. We know that because the text tells us it was when David was fleeing Absalom, and he assumes that you've read 2 Samuel. And so, but I'm not going to assume that you've read 2 Samuel. So let me tell you what David did when Absalom kicked him out of Jerusalem. He ran. He gathered his mighty men around him, his army, his most reliable and faithful warriors. He placed spies in place in Jerusalem so he could find out what Absalom was planning. He escaped from Jerusalem, went all the way over the Jordan River, and went to one of his allies' homes and stayed in that home where he was provided for and fed. He did all those things because he had a healthy fear. His fear is operating correctly. See, I think fear gets a bad rap. You know, we put no fear on the back of our pickup trucks. We act like fear is a bad thing. Fear's great. Fear is the reason I'm still alive. Fear's probably the reason you're still alive. You want to know who has no fear? All you have to do is Google the words Florida man dies. You do that Google search for any day, and you'll find Florida man dies shooting fireworks from top of head. True story. You know, or look to the stories of the Instagram models who went to the top of the Grand Canyon and in the midst of posing for pictures about how showing how they have no fear, fell off into the Grand Canyon and died. That's what happens if you have no fear. You act foolishly. Fear's a good thing. Fear makes us seek security. Fear makes us respond in a wise way and remove ourselves from danger. That's what David did. In the same way, I just kind of wanted to take this apart a little bit and see the difference. I think it's important right now. Gosh, I don't remember another time when there's been more confusion between acting in faith, living by faith, and living by presumption and foolishness. And so we're going to talk about that. And living by fear, using fear the way God designed it, it makes us seek relationships. What's the first thing you remember being afraid of? It's probably the dark. And what did you want? You wanted your parents to be with you. Your mom sent you out. You had to take the trash out in the middle of the night, or what felt like the middle of the night. It's probably 8 o'clock. It's dark out there. Will you go with me? Fear looks for someone to go with me. What does David pray in Psalm 23? Yes, though I walk through the valley of deep shadows, I fear no evil because you're with me. Fear drives us toward people. When I was in Jackson, Mississippi, lived in this older cottage that had some rotted out spots, and one night a squirrel bedded down and began to build a nest in our walls. And you could hear him running around the attic, and then he got down into a wall, and I think he got confused or what, but he started barking in the middle of the night. And a squirrel's bark sounds kind of like a squeal. It's like, arr, 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 all night. And I was driven so crazy that I loaded my shotgun, and I pointed it at the wall. I said, Bianca, I think he's here. And she talked me out of doing that, which was wise, because she has a healthy fear. The next day I knew all I had to do was crawl up in the attic and throw his nest away and plug up the hole. But I was so scared. because I had to climb up this ladder. I'd put the ladder under the hole and push the board out of the way and stick my head up into the attic. And I just knew that squirrel was going to be right there. Just biting me on the nose. Bite my nose straight off, probably. And I couldn't do it. And so I was in seminary. I went to class and I went to lunch. And I was telling a friend about it. And he goes, well, let's go get it. We come back home. He holds the ladder. I just climb right up there and climb up into the attic. Why? Because I had somebody with me. It's a magical thing almost. Fear, like having someone with you strengthens you. It takes your fear away. Fear seeks relationships. Fear seeks out safety. What does David do? He gathers his men and he gets out of town to a safe place. Fear is why you're still alive. Fear makes you buckle your seatbelt. Right? It's what we do. It's why we prepare and act. Fear makes us act. You know why I graduated college? Because I was really afraid of failing out of college. And so I studied. And I went to bed at night and I worked hard. And I got up in the morning and I studied because I was afraid. I was afraid of failing out. And that was not some random fear. That was a very clear and present danger. That's what a fully formed, healthy fear looks like. What does a fully formed, healthy fear of COVID-19 look like? According to Dr. Anthony Fauci, it means you wash your hands, wear a mask, avoid crowds, stay outside as much as possible. Doesn't mean you shelter in place necessarily. It doesn't mean you live in terror. It certainly doesn't mean you just go around acting like it didn't exist. Wash your hands, people. It's hard for me. I hate washing my hands. Wear a mask. Avoid crowds. That's what living wisely looks like. And what does that healthy fear lead us to? It leads us to a place of rest. David slept in the midst of his enemies. I mean, there are thousands lined up around me. I lay down and sleep. I wake up in the morning because you're still with me. See, David has made peace with the Lord. And he's done everything he can do. So he rests. That's what fear is supposed to get you to. A place where you rest. That's healthy fear. We'll talk more about how it gets us to rest in just a second. But first of all, let's talk about those of us who have a broken sense of fear. Anxiety. When we received this building, when we purchased it, and finally it was ours, one of the first things we had to do was get an emergency alarm, a burglar alarm, a security system. Thank you. That's easier to say. A security system put in. And so we got Stanley to come put a security system in. And it's a weird system. It's all on computers. If I want them to unlock a door, I don't have a key. I have to call them, and they unlock it from a distance. It's very odd to me. It's still odd 7 years later. But so what they had to do to set up the security system is they went through the entire building, and they mapped it out on their little computers, and they mapped out every door. And then every night at 1 a.m., the system would check itself and make sure all the doors were closed. One door was never closed. And for like 6 months, I'm not exaggerating, we have witnesses here who can tell you. For like 6 months, every night we would receive a phone call. One of our members, a deacon, admin, somebody would receive a phone call saying, you have a door open. No, we don't. I can't turn the alarm off unless you go up there and check it. And every night somebody different would come up and check that no doors are open, no doors are open, no doors are open. And finally, I got frustrated enough that I just went to the office. They have an office here in town. I found out where it was. I went in there and I sat down and I said, I'm not leaving until you fix this. And if I were you, I'd really want me out of here. And so they came and they walked through it. And you know what they found out? They had typed in that there was a door where there was no door. The door that was open every night didn't exist. And so we couldn't close it. And so the security system was going off nonstop. Fear is our security system. But some of them are broken. And they never stop going off. And that's kind of what anxiety looks like. We're always looking for something. The It's like the security system is, the alarm is going off, and we're constantly looking for a reason why. Instead of seeing the thing that we're supposed to be afraid of, moving to safety, moving to people, to relationship, we're just already have the alarm going off, and we're looking for something, for a reason for it to be going off. And this is what it's very similar in that way to what we talked about last week. Remember, sadness is God's healing emotion, that we grieve a loss. Depression is general. Sadness is specific. I'm sad about my mother dying. I'm sad about losing my job. I'm sad about a thing. Depression is just general sadness, looking for a reason to be sad. In the same way, fear is specific. David feared Absalom. You should fear COVID-19. It's a real thing. And therefore, you act and you move on. Anxiety is general. Anxiety lives in the land of maybe. I'm afraid because my children might be at risk. I may not have done enough. Something might happen tomorrow. And we can't turn it off. Anxiety lives in the land of what if. It's looking for something to be anxious about. Fear drives us to something trustworthy. David went to his mighty men. He went to his allies. David went to the Lord. Anxiety, because the alarm's already going off and it doesn't seem like you can get it away from it, and anxiety draws you into yourself. Fear looks for a stronghold. Anxiety kind of seeks control. If I can control all the possible outcomes, then I'll be safe. Well, yes, if you could control all the possible outcomes, you would be safe. But you can't. You just can't. And so the more you realize that, and the bigger your life gets, and the bigger your circle of friends gets, the more you realize that you can't control, and the anxiety begins to produce anxiety. And it becomes a spiral that you can't get out of. And that's why fear seeks companions. I'm safe if you're with me, but anxiety seeks isolation. I can't control you, so I want to be by myself where nobody can hurt me. Fear is temporary because it's about a thing, but anxiety is continual because anxiety becomes its own problem. We have a counselor in the church named Jordan Harrow, and he works with veterans, and part of his teaching is he has a small piece of rope, and he says, let me explain to you what your anxiety is doing to you. And he gives the person went into the rope, and he says, now, I'm anxiety. And in between us, there's this huge gulf of despair. And I'm going to pull you in. And the other person starts pulling back. You can pull back all you want. I'm pulling you in. As a matter of fact, the more you pull, the harder I pull. And what are you going to do to keep me from pulling you into the despair? Now, this is an interesting test. I've actually done it with people just to see if it's true, and it's true. Someone who does not struggle with anxiety will let go of the rope every time. Like, I'm not going to let you pull me into the despair. I'll just let go. That's dumb. Somebody who actually struggles with it, it never occurs to them to let go. Anxiety becomes its own thing. And you can't stop controlling. It's continual. And I'm not... No, I don't think it's something to blame you for. Anxiety is just a thing that's out there, and some of us are born with it, and some of us kind of develop it through practice. But it's not healthy fear. We need to learn to let go of it. And we learn to let go of it by feeding our faith. Healthy fear takes us toward eternal life. Sweet little Jackson Boyd. God's in my room. He's in your room. Can I hide from him? No, you can't hide from him. He sees me. He sees you. That begins the process of how God has designed you to find peace in him. It's through your fear. He says it several times in the Old Testament. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. It's not the end. By definition, the beginning is not the end. How does it end? It ends in 1 John 4, where he says, perfect love has cast away all fear. There's no fear in love. Fear has to do with punishment. How do we get there? To tell you how we get there, I want to use three stories from Peter, the Apostle Peter, and they all involve boats. Three times Peter is in the boat with Jesus. First time, Jesus is teaching on the shore. The crowd grows. He asks Peter, can I get in your boat so more people can hear me? Peter's like, sure. Paddles him out to the water. He teaches over the water so people can hear him more. His voice will carry. And then because he knows everything, Jesus looks at Peter and says, put your net down here. You'll catch some fish. And Peter says something interesting, and I want you to pay attention to it. He says, sir, we have toiled all night. Is there a better description of anxiety than that? Toiling all night. I can't sleep. I can't rest. My well-being depends upon my performance. I'm the only thing I can trust. I must work or work, work, or I won't be safe. And Jesus says, put your nets down here. And he puts them down, and the nets fill with fish, and he drags them in. And then what's his response? Is his response, thank you, sir, will you please come fishing with us again? Is his response, you're obviously the Lord, let me follow you? No, his response was, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He fears the Lord. He realizes he's in the presence of someone holy, and he fears him, and he asks the Lord to get away from him. He has fear because he's sinful, and he's dirty, and he doesn't want to be seen. And Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he does follow him. And a few weeks later, they're in the boat again. They're going across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm blows up. And Jesus is at rest, being at peace with the Lord. He's at peace with all things, and he's at rest, and he's sleeping in the back of the boat. But the disciples are terrified, and they come and they get him. They wake him up. Don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus gets up, and he speaks to the rain. He speaks to the wind. He says, be still. And everything quiets down. And it says the disciples were terrified. Who is this who speaks to the wind and the rain? They realized they were in the presence of God himself, that they were in the presence of the one who could quiet the storms. And there was no place to hide from him. And they continued to follow him, and they saw him on the cross. And on the cross, they see the true fear of the Lord. They see what sin deserves and what holiness looks like. And deeper than that, they began to see that that's the love of God poured out, that he was doing that for them. And they see him resurrected. And then the last time they're in the boat and see Jesus, Jesus again tells them to throw down their nets, and they again catch the fish, and through that they realize that this stranger on the coast is Jesus himself. And Peter says, it's the Lord. And he throws himself into the lake. He's doing anything he can to get there as fast. He wants to get to Jesus as fast as he possibly can. And his fear, that initial fear that went from saying, depart from me, is now saying, you're the only place of safety. You're the only place where everything will be at rest. And so the question is, what do I do with my anxiety? The answer is, come to Jesus with your anxiety. And stay there until he comforts you. When you feel that reality, it just changes everything. It does. You still act wisely, of course. But what? But you lay down and sleep. You rest. Because you know the Lord is on your side. You know that he loves you and he's embraced you. So that if you die, you get to be with Jesus. And if you live, you get to live for Jesus. And if you get fired, then you get, that's good. That means your money's taken away and it's no longer between you and Jesus. And if you make a whole lot of money, then that's wonderful because you get to go and spend it for Jesus. And whatever you do, whether you live or die, you can be content because it comes from the Lord's hand and he's for you. And you know that. You're here on Labor Day. But is it comforting you? Is it a day in, day out comfort that Jesus is on your side? Or is your only comfort in what you're able to control? And I think that question is answered by simply asking this. Which reality are you feeding? I mean, we live in between two absolute truths. God is on our side. He is for us. If He is for us, who can be against us? And this world is a dangerous place. To quote Cool Hand Luke, nobody's going to get out of it alive. Which reality are you feeding? How much time are you spending feeding this truth that you belong to the Lord? How much time are you spending feeding the dangers of this world? How much time are you spending looking at everything wrong with the world, whether it be through news or whatever your favorite method is? And how much time do you spend feeding, reminding yourself of how much He loves you? Because that is the only place to find peace. And that's what we want you to have. I want you to understand what it means to be still and know that He is the Lord. He's on your side. He's with you. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, it's hard. You know that it's hard because You are everywhere, but You're also invisible. And it's hard to see You. And these dangers that we fear, they seem like they are visible everywhere. So I pray that You give us the eyes of faith so that we would believe that You can be trusted and that we are safe in You. I pray that we would find rest in You. Thank You, Lord, that You don't wait for us to perfect ourselves, but that You accept us with our anxiety. You love us just with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please leave if you want. We'll never throw ourselves in front of the door. But I'm going to try to answer a couple questions. I got a few good ones. I got one that's just too hard for me to do off the top of my head. I don't know who this is, but I will email you an answer this week, I promise. That sounds very difficult. All right, let me look at the ones I did get, though, that I can answer. Or I can try to answer. The Lord leads us and guides us, yet I'm also afraid of messing up. Isn't that great? Doesn't that describe you? That's anxiety right there. What does childlike trust look like in the view of this adult life, making decisions and confronting our own sin? There's a great scene in the movie, the documentary series, whatever it was, wasn't a documentary, called Band of Brothers. And kind of the hero in the story, it's true stories, all true, grabs this guy who's acting cowardly, and he said to the guy, "Your problem is you think you have a chance of getting out of here alive. If you'll just resign yourself to the truth that you're going to die in Germany in war, you could be a helpful soldier." Now, it may have been a bad example, a little extreme, but you're going to mess up. If you'll embrace that, you'll find a lot of freedom. The people who seem to have the hardest time in life are the people who can't admit that. You're going to mess up. Of course you're going to mess up. And the Lord wants you with your messiness. I don't understand that. Well, I do understand. It's because He loves you. He loves the real you, not the perfect you that you think you ought to be, not the idealized you. He loves the messy you that actually exists. And He promises to use all of your mistakes and all of your mess-ups for your good and for His glory. He's going to use them. And that's what living by faith really is. It's believing, I'm going to act wisely, and I'm going to act prudently, and I'm going to do the wise thing as often as I can. And I'm going to trust Him that the Lord is going to use my mistakes. And He's going to bless those and use them for my good. So, were you asking a question or stretching? That's fine. Because I don't have any more. I got one more about children. Let me ask it just right here, and then I'll let you go. What are some practical steps to stop trying to... This is funny. I love the way this is worded. What are some practical steps to stop trying to control people and relieving that anxiety? Now, we all know what people you're talking about here, right? The people who look like me and share my last name and are small. And the answer to that is feeding your faith. Giving your children or your friendships or whatever it is you're trying to control, giving them to the Lord and letting Him be the Lord. You're not. Tim Keller says that regret is the belief that God got something wrong. Anxiety is the belief that He's going to get something wrong. I can't trust the Lord, so I have to control it myself. And I think that's very accurate in this case, that giving your children or your friends or your spouse or whoever it is you're trying to control, giving them to the Lord is a daily activity. Lord, I got to trust you with them. I give them to you. And if they wander away from you and me for a while, I'm going to trust that you're going to bring them back. But I can't control that. And you can, and you're good. And you're for me. And you promise that you're for me. So I'm going to give that to you. So that's, and again, it's a daily thing. I don't think anxiety is something for any of us. Some of us have a lot more than others, but none of us can just kick it. It's something you just kind of live with, and you kind of go through the process day in and day out. And there are tools you can use if you're struggling with it. I used a tool called Headspace, and people told me that if I put it on my phone, it would help. And I put it on my phone, and it didn't help. And then they said, well, you have to open the app and actually do the thing. So I started doing the thing, and, 10 minutes a day, and it started helping. And Bianca asked, and it's a little bit of a skeptical tone, how is it helping? What does it do for you? And I said, it gets me into this moment. And then in a perfect question for someone who's never struggled with anxiety, what's so great about this moment? And I said, I'm safe in this moment. I am, right? It gets me out of the land of the what-ifs. It gets me out of the time period of the future when something might happen. And it gets me right here where nothing bad is happening. And that's really a big part of developing this peace. And then trusting the Lord with your future. He holds tomorrow. We don't. So, all right. That's the best I got for you.